But I think when we talked about the kind of almost that winter garden concept where the structure of it is a balcony, the neighbouring properties still have it as a balcony and yours is boxed in, I think, you know, that's a different feel of a space. And that's why I was saying maybe I sort of see that being furnished in a bit more of an outdoorsy way, because it's almost like a quirky thing that you've
yes.
done, you know? So you kind of almost want that feel that you are outside, but hey, I've boxed it in.
Welcome to the D
and A of Home Interiors. The DNA of Home Interiors is all about empowering you to make confident home interior and furniture decisions. I'm Audrey, founder of Audrey Whelan Interior Design. I've worked as an interior designer for almost 20 years, running my own business for 10 years of this. Recently, I have refocused my business to help people who are undertaking their own refurbishment or redecoration project. I do this through individual consultations in people's homes and also through running interior design workshops around London.
I'm Deirdre, the co-founder and CEO of Cooldea, an online search and comparison website which enables people to easily search, discover and shop furniture products across the entire market on one website. Cooldea is the home for furniture discovery. Check it out to search over 80 retailers simply today. Audrey and I decided to set up the podcast after seeing the overwhelming feeling that many people encounter when undertaking their own project. The sheer amount of choice available often leads to decision paralysis. We're here to help you make confident decisions.
Audrey, today we're talking about conservatories, which feels a bit weird because it's lashing rain outside and it's a day I definitely wouldn't like to be in a conservatory. I think of big sunny days. And a conservatory is, I suppose, that traditional outdoor room attached to the house. But what I'm also keen to talk about is the winter garden and how you're seeing that being incorporated into apartments where the balcony is actually enclosed in glass. And there's also some winter gardens, which are sort of boxes that are attached to the top of houses now as well, which are really interesting. But I suppose if we start off with the traditional, the conservatory, it's a great addition to any house. Is it still used in a lot of modern houses today?
Yes, I think it is. Yeah, I think the concept of the conservatory has evolved over time. So, you know, I remember conservatories when I was growing up in Ireland that were very much sort of a separate add-on. So they didn't maybe feel that integrated into the house. Perhaps they didn't even have sufficient heating to be used in the winter.
In the winter and too hot in the summer, never used.
So not maybe 100% practical, but, you know, obviously great on those days where it wasn't quite warm enough to sit outside or it was too windy. So you got the benefit of the sun then, but you were indoors with all that glass. And so I think what's happened since then is that, you know, the conservatories we see now are much more integrated into the home, but that they can be a great sort of stepping stone from the home to the garden. So, you know, some people will have more kind of wall in the conservatory, so they won't necessarily have glass all the way around floor to ceiling. In fact, the whole ceiling may not even be glazed in some cases. So that gives you more flexibility then in terms of being able to bring heating in, so that you've got, if you want radiators, you've got some wall space as well. So you can really, I think, try to get that kind of happy medium between, you know, a room that can really benefit from the sun, but at the same time, even in the winter, even on a grey day like today, particularly if you've kind of furnished it with that in mind, that, you know, you can still have what feels like a cozy space. And after all, you know, even in winter, it's so great to be able to just get that view of greenery outside and the sky, no matter
yes,
what the
sometimes
weather.
Sometimes it's nice being snug inside and looking out on the rain. And I suppose that is the conservatory that I remember. It was the one with the sort of you know, one quarter wall and yes. then the glass started yeah. upwards
yeah.
as where you do have some floor to ceiling glass now. And
yeah.
I suppose it particularly goes back to what type of doors do you have? Is it a door that opens out, a more traditional door, or do you have sliding where you can open the space right up and out?
Yeah.
And I suppose a consideration for that is probably what you're looking out onto.
Yeah.
Because, of course, if there's a particular point and maybe you have some sort of sculpture or a water feature, you don't want to have the glazing or the frame of a window, the frame of a door in your way when you're seated there. So having that big glass space or those sliding spaces can be really important in those spaces.
Yeah, yeah, that's absolutely true. So I think, yeah, it's a case of, you know, like with all kind of extension projects in your home, looking at, you know, what you want to put into the space and making sure you've got that right before you commit to where your walls go. But in this case, it's also looking externally at what it is that you want to be incorporated kind of visually into this space that you're adding on, so that when you're there and the doors are closed and it is winter, you know what you're actually looking at, and perhaps also maybe what you don't want to look at, you know, if you've sort of got yeah. you know, whether it's your bins area or a shed or something
exactly.
that's, you know, not your main feature. So you can kind of target that view then, you know, to your best advantage.
So that wall space is, it's actually probably more important than people would necessarily think, because if you just put a pure glass box onto the house, you're going to have no wall space whatsoever.
Yeah,
so the
yeah.
question comes in, where do you put your radiators and where do you put your furniture? Because some yeah. furniture naturally aligns up against a wall.
Yeah.
So maybe it is that you want to consider that. And, you know, obviously there's other solutions. You don't necessarily need to have a radiator on a wall. You can have your underfloor heating,
yeah.
but it's important to think about that.
Yeah. And I think the other benefits that you get from having some wall space are that, you know, you can think about maybe having like whether it's a wallpaper or an interesting wall colour on that wall. So again, just thinking about the winter when it is a bit greyer outside, that actually the space itself feels a bit more vibrant and lively in that way, to compensate maybe for the grey day outside. So if it's all glass, then you're completely reliant on what's happening outside to kind of give you that atmosphere inside.
And what does the impact of walls have on insulation? Because I touched upon at the very beginning, you know, conservatories have this sort of renown being too cold in the winter, being too hot in the summer.
Yeah.
You can put in insulation into walls, as where glass doesn't seem to be as associated with, I suppose, adding insulation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, you're probably going to improve that. Yeah. With having some walls in there. So again, it probably comes down to sort of how you see yourself using that space and how integrated it is with the rest of your home. So I know some people who have these spaces and, you know, they eat there every day and it's very open to, maybe the kitchen isn't quite big enough for a dining table, so they actually use that as a space. Then, you know, other people will have it more as an additional lounge area. So it's not a primary place where they sort of need to go or necessarily want to go kind of all the time. And then it's more specific to when the weather's good and if, you know, you feel drawn to going out there.
Yeah. And there's great solutions with glass nowadays anyways. So you've got solar controlled glazing,
yeah.
which controls the heat passing out either way, if it's keeping it in or keeping it
yeah.
out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So in terms of insulation, that's really good. And then also, I mean, with glass, it's important to think about the light levels then. So if it was a room that maybe you saw yourself doing some work in, for example, you know, although we all crave the bright sunny day, you know, that can have its downsides then if you're on a computer there. And, you know, then it's important to have ways to shield the light a little bit. So, you know, you probably want to think about blinds in that case. And then obviously if the ceiling is quite high and there's a lot of glazing and therefore you need a lot of blinds, then it's good to think about some smart controls, maybe, or, you know, electric blinds
yeah.
in that case, so they're easy to open and close.
And talking about the ceiling, what's your advice there? So you can obviously have glass. The way I think about it, if a bird came along and did its business, it
yeah.
would really annoy me that there was
yeah.
a stain on the glass.
Yeah.
So how you actually keep that clean is probably
yeah.
a consideration, and also what you're looking up at
yeah.
towards your house or maybe
yeah.
a neighbour and things like that
yeah.
is probably a factor. And then
yeah.
I've also seen conservatories that actually have wooden slats on the inside. Yeah. And of course, that's actually quite cozy and warm.
Yeah.
So is there sort of rules when you should use glass versus not, or what do people think about there?
Yeah, well, so I think that is, you know, one of those decisions based around what you want to use it for. I think if you want to use it all year round, then maybe not having it completely glazed on the ceiling is good, because it gives you a bit more control over, you know, all your light levels and different situations. And also it allows you to integrate some artificial light a bit easier in the ceiling. I mean, obviously there's still things you can do if it's all glazed, like having lighting tracks and that. But certainly if you're thinking of having, you know, any spotlights recessed in, things like that, then obviously if you've got a plaster ceiling, it's you know, it's it, that's going to work. Then the idea of the wooden, like slatted kind of tongue and groove type ceiling, I suppose it is, you've seen. I mean, I think that's a really great feature, but it's one that kind of aesthetically probably feels, you know, a little bit more maybe cottagey or a bit colonial. So, you know, if the rest of your house is very contemporary, it mightn't be something that, you know, lends itself very well then kind of in this additional space that you're adding on. So you might want to just go for more like a painted plaster finish on the ceiling then, or, you know, the whole sort of glass box, if you want to be kind of that would feel a lot more contemporary, I suppose. So if you do want to kind of have it feeling a little bit more traditional, then I think mixing the glass up with other materials is the better way to go.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? I've seen some with big like beams, and they look beautiful on a country cottage, and you can see the exposed beams, and even the frames of the windows are big pieces of chunky wood, and it's just really in keeping with the house, because a lot of the time going back, you had this white PVC added onto a house, and it just stood out, and it didn't really incorporate into the house. And you do have great solutions now in the frames, whether you're using aluminium, whether you're using wood, and it doesn't have to be just the white PVC either.
Yeah.
You know, you can use grey, you can use black to incorporate what colour are the windows in the house, so that you can make that feel. And I've actually recently seen one that had a green frame, which actually looked really nice, because it was sort of bringing the garden, bringing that nature element to it.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you say green, because I was just thinking through, you know, different types of conservatories and garden rooms I've worked on over the years, sort of thinking about our conversation we're going to have today. And, you know, that in terms of what colours you would use in those spaces, and that, you know, it can be really great to incorporate green into the space. So even if it wasn't, you know, the green frame, or if the type of, you know, product you were going for in terms of frame didn't come in a green, you can still bring in that feel then, whether it's through, like I mentioned earlier about, you know, if you had a wall, maybe that you could put a wallpaper on. It could be something with the foliage feel, even if it was quite a contemporary print, but maybe something that almost, you know, mirrors, you know, the effect of the garden and the greenery outside. But then equally then to balance that with some complementary colours. So I know we talked about complementary colours way back, I think it was like our second episode, but thinking about the opposites on the colour wheel. So, you know, green sits so well with sort of magenta, deep pinks, or maybe little hints of purple, and, you know, bringing some of those accents in then. So then you're really thinking about the fact that, you know, you've got that continuity from outdoors with the greenery, but on those kind of cooler days, maybe when you still want to use the space, you've got these accents of really warm, kind of cozier colours then that can make the space feel more inviting. And they could even be colours that in summertime are reflected in the garden with things that you plant as well.
It's funny, you're actually describing the house of a lady that I know, Debbie, and she has this beautiful green and pink wallpaper that nearly looks like a floral, and she has green velvet sofas and gorgeous. All this glass, you've got the outdoors coming in, but you've got it really reflected in the room.
Yeah.
And it looks amazing. So just listening to you describe it sounds like she's done a wonderful job there.
Yeah, it does sound good.
And then with the flooring, what's your advice? Should you try and keep the flooring such that if you're opening the doors, maybe the tiles are linking out onto a patio, or should the tiles, if you're using tiles or wooden floor, whatever it is, link back into the kitchen or the room off the conservatory?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. I feel at the moment I keep seeing great examples of kind of internal floors continuing outside. And I absolutely love that. I think it's a brilliant way to kind of almost blur those boundaries a little bit. And, you know, you make your inside space feel a bit bigger because there's that continuity outside. But then I think it very much depends, you know, where this room is in terms of like what room does it link off in your house. So, you know, for example, if it was a continuation kind of an open plan kitchen, living, dining space, it just might make more sense to continue the flooring from that space into it, particularly say if maybe you didn't have doors into the conservatory space, so it was used very much on a day-to-day basis. That might be, you know, the best way to go. But I think if it's like a snug room and it's quite separate maybe to the house, then linking it with the outdoors then can be quite nice way to give it its own identity from the house, but then it's sort of, you know, visually expands out a bit further than the size of, you know, it itself.
And of course, we don't all have the luxury of having a conservatory. But no. Nowadays, if you are living in a smaller space or even an apartment in the city, you're seeing that balconies are becoming sort of closed in, so to speak. Yeah. So they have the glass that goes all the way around, yeah, which makes them functional throughout the year.
Yeah.
What have you seen in that regard? Because, you know, you can obviously sit there and look out on your view across the city if you're lucky enough to have a great view.
Yeah.
But you can be cozy because you can have those outdoor elements sort of closed off.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, this is a real reaction to people just, you know, living in smaller spaces a lot of the time and thinking, well, it's all very good to have this balcony, but if I can only use it for a very small percentage of the year, then, you know, it's much more beneficial to have it closed in and be able to use it, you know, much more often. And I think then it's a great way to still be able to kind of furnish it in a sort of outdoorsy way. But obviously you don't have to be as concerned about sort of things that can handle, you know, the extreme weather and rain and so on. But you can still think about, you know, sort of brightly coloured rugs. Maybe there's a lot of outdoor rugs actually at the moment, which I love. I've got some, you know, I put them in the garden in the summer, but, you know, it's not that I leave them out there permanently. But if you had like a winter garden type idea, then, you know, you could obviously leave them there permanently. But I think it's quite nice to still have this feel of it being outdoors rather than trying to put too many sort of maybe plush furnishings in it and make it feel like the rest, you know, of the indoor space.
And that's a really good point. I suppose my next question is around what type of furniture should you actually have in your conservatory or in your winter garden balcony?
Yeah.
You know, when I look back, I used to cut up the Argus catalogue with my rooms, and the conservatory always had the wicker sofa sets. So you had these two chairs with the big sort of plump cushions in wicker, and then you had a two-seater sofa, and they had a little coffee table also made of wicker, sometimes with a glass top. So should it be outdoor furniture that's sort of coming in, or can it be like Debbie, like I mentioned, this beautiful green sofa that's in there? What are your thoughts? Because I think historically it would have been that quite traditional wicker, but what maybe the first question is, what is wicker?
So people often ask me, what's wicker and what's rattan, and are the same thing?
They sort of look the same, but I'm assuming that they're not.
No, so actually the main difference is that rattan is a material, so it's a type of like a type of wood, essentially, like a very close to the palm tree. But wicker is a process. So wicker is the process of actually making something out of natural materials in this kind of woven form. So it means that, you know, wicker and rattan overlap in that way, because something that's made of rattan can essentially be described as wicker, because that's that process of weaving, you know. So, I mean, what we're seeing now is we're seeing some furniture that's been called rattan, but it's actually made of synthetic material. So it's using a wicker like process to weave.
Yes.
So it depends on your budget, really, whether you go for the real, you know, bamboo type materials, maybe, or whether you're going for something more synthetic.
I always think of rattan as an outdoor furniture. I'm not sure I would personally want it in my conservatory. Yes, I think I'd want it more of a room, and I'd feel like it was more of a usable room if it did have more traditional furniture. So, you know, a nice lamp with a nice lampshade on the side table beside, maybe a nicer, more comfortable couch.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you're right in that, rattan certainly has that outdoor feel. I mean, it's made for outdoors because it can withstand the weather. So the idea with all that rattan furniture is that you can leave it outdoors. So you may have cushions that you take off and put away, obviously, in the harsher weather, but the core structure of it can stay. So in that sense, there isn't a need to be furnishing your indoor space with rattan unless you want it to feel very outdoorsy. But the downside maybe of, you know, the velvet sofas and that is just depending on your light levels and how likely the fabrics are to fade and whether that is a consideration for you, you know, if you're kind of, you know, not wanting that to happen. But obviously with blinds and that, you've got a certain amount of control that maybe if you're somebody who's out a lot of the daytime, you can have the blinds down and protect that furniture. And so that would be one reason why sometimes people go for more kind of outdoorsy furniture in that indoor space with the high light levels, because I'm not wanting things to fade. But no, I kind of agree with you. I think if the space is big enough and if it feels like it's quite an integrated space in terms of the rest of your living space in your home, then I think it's great to furnish it comfortably and in a way where you're actually genuinely going to want to use it and go in there. But I think when we talked about the kind of almost that winter garden concept where the structure of it is a balcony, the neighboring properties still have it as a balcony and yours is boxed in, I think, you know, that's a different feel of a space. And that's why I was saying maybe I sort of see that being furnished in a bit more of an outdoorsy way, because it's almost like a quirky thing that you've done, you know. So you kind of almost want that feel that you are outside, but hey, I've boxed it in. Whereas the conservatory type room we're talking about has kind of moved on from that sort of maybe all glass structure. And certainly if you've got wall space in it and it is feeling, you know, a bit more comfortable and part of the house in that way, then, you know, quite like the idea of, bringing the lampshades in and, you know, you can put pictures on the walls if you have only two walls in there, or the wallpaper idea we talked about.
Yeah, it's representing really the change that it's a functional room where you can control the temperature and use it all year round. Yeah. So therefore, why not have your books out there? It's not like it's damp. You can have them against a bookcase.
Yeah.
You know, you can have your rugs, you can have your cushions, you can have your art, you know, it's not going to get damaged. Yeah. And another great way, I suppose, of making that room feel a bit more warm, and you've mentioned blinds, but, you know, you can have those fabric blinds. And I forget the name, and we did have our podcast on blinds, but you know, the ones that sort of have
like a Roman blind.
That's the one. Yeah. I always get mixed up with them.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're great because the curtains can be quite, you know, space consuming.
Yeah.
But those ones can be really beautiful and add that extra color and warmth of material.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if you're using it in the winter or you're using it in the evening and it's completely pitch black outside, you know, maybe you'd rather just shield those windows and make it into, a warmer, cozier space inside then with the fabric.
Well, I can't wait to one day have a house that might have a conservatory because I'm a big fan of the garden. I think my garden is the favourite room of the house. So being able to have that transitory, beautiful space that you can enjoy the outdoors whilst having the comfort of the indoors, it's a real luxury and a privilege that I hope I'll be able to enjoy one day.
Yeah, absolutely. If you enjoyed our podcast, please like and share with your friends and family who are working on their own home interiors project. Be sure to follow us on our Instagram, Facebook and YouTube channels at the DNA of Home Interiors.
If you are looking for inspiration and help in designing your home project, check out Audrey Whelan's Masterclasses and sign up for one today. And Audrey, what's that address again?
It's audreywhelan.com/events.
And it also makes a great gift. And don't forget to check out cooldia.com to easily search, discover and shop furniture products across the entire retail market on one website. We hope you can join us next time. Discover and shop furniture products across the entire retail market on one website. We hope you can join us next time.